And we're pleased to be joined this morning by Don Rojas, good friend of WBAI, longtime activist and voice that is always welcome on these airwaves. Don, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Good morning, Mario.
Let's talk about some of the outcome. Again, more than 20 countries participating from the Caribbean, Europe, Central and South America, the U.S., Canada, of course. What concrete steps or accomplishments were made out of this summit, aside from the launching and the official inauguration of the National African American Reparations Commission? What are some of the concrete things that came out of it?
Well, you know, the National African American Reparations Commission, I think, was one of the major outcomes. This is persuade a number of leading academic voices to come together from around the country, actually, to New York, and to agree to participate in not only in the conference, but also in the newly formed National African American Reparations Commission. So it's a 15-member body that is patterned, actually, off of the Caribbean Reparations Commission, which was launched almost two years ago in the Caribbean region, coming out of a significant heads of government decision made in 2013 in Trinidad and Tobago to put before the former European slaveholding and a series of demands for reparations for centuries of African enslavement and native genocide in the Caribbean region. That's where the modern Caribbean, and I would say now global reparations movement, sort of got a new shot in the arm.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because obviously that is a government. These are governments, left, right, and center.
These are governments.
So these are governments, so they carry, you know, notwithstanding the luminaries, they don't have the political weight that these governments would have on a global scale. So what are the steps that need to be taken for them to implement and to push specific policy?
Right. Well, right here in the United States, the emphasis will be to revisit H.R. 40, which is the reparations bill that has been languishing in Congress since 1989, which was written and sponsored by Congressman John Conyers of Detroit. He is the dean of the Congressional Black Caucus, one of the original founding members of the CBC, and has been a progressive champion on Capitol Hill for a whole range of causes. But he's also very well known for the H.R. 40 bill, which he introduced in 1989 and has continued to introduce it into Congress with every new Congress that has come in. The idea here is that this is a piece of legislation that merely calls for the establishment of a national commission to study slavery and and the impact of slavery. It's a pretty mild form of legislation, but yet it has received the, you know, condemnation and vitriol of from presidents down to members of Congress, and so the bill has not really advanced through Congress. However, we believe that with the revival of the reparations movement here in the United States, and particularly with the energy that was generated coming out of the conference last weekend in New York, that a renewed emphasis will be placed on H.R. 40. So that's one concrete action that can be taken here in the United States. In addition to that, as you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates, the young African-American journalist, scholar, who writes for the Atlantic magazine, a year ago came out with a groundbreaking article called The Case for Reparations. What he did basically was to study the history of housing discrimination in the city of Chicago in the 20th century. He looked at from 1920s all the way up to the current period, and his research demonstrated clearly a consistent pattern of discrimination.
You know, sitting in through the opening ceremony, the opening event, and all the speakers, but, you know, listening to Jesse Jackson, who obviously comes with baggage here in the U.S., but I felt like I was in a different planet listening to the things that he was saying.
Right. Many of us did, too. You know, never heard Jesse speak about reparations with such passion.
And talking about terror, and talking about state terror that Africans and people of African descent in this country suffered through centuries, that goes up to you know, very recent times right now in many ways, but so given that level of commentary, and on one hand you could say, well, he knew his audience and he was speaking to his audience, but on the other hand, somebody of that stature playing a role in, for example, even moving along, getting more support in the Congress for the legislation, however lukewarm you might describe it as, the Conyers legislation, move that along to create it and put it on the national debate.
You know, Mario, that in itself is going to be an uphill struggle in the months and years ahead, because unfortunately, the majority of the current members of the Congressional Black Caucus have not supported. They are not on record supporting H.R. 40. So a lot of lobbying and persuading and educating needs to be done with members of the caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus. Then, of course, you've got the Progressive Caucus in Congress, who, you know, need to be introduced to this issue, and hopefully won over. And I think that's possible moving forward. But the commission that has just been formed, it's not just going to focus on pushing forward the H.R. 40 bill that Congressman Conyers has authored. It is going to undertake a process of dialogue and engagement with ordinary folk, grassroots people across the country in major African-American communities. Mm-hmm. Hopefully come together at the end of that process a plan of action, very similar to the reparatory justice, 10-point reparatory justice program that the CARICOM nations have put on the table and hopefully will be negotiating or beginning to negotiate this year with the European powers.
Does the UN, and I know in your final declaration you do refer to the decade, I'm sorry to interrupt, Don, but the decade for the people of African descent that the UN declared, it started this year, it goes through till 2024. Does that open an opportunity for this kind of engagement with
the global scale? And we believe that it is a great opportunity for us to introduce the reparations argument into the broader program of action that has been adopted by the General Assembly of the United Nations in declaring the decade 2015 to 2024 as the decade for people of African descent. And we believe that within that context, the demands for reparations can be advanced. The conference also came out in support of the UNESCO's Slave Roots Project and the General History of Africa Project, which are projects that are undergoing, but at the end of which, you know, will provide, again, a body of rich academic work to support the ongoing reparations programs.
Right. Again, just we're speaking with Don Rojas. He's the communications, the official title, Don, is the Director of Communication of the Institute of the Black World, 21st Century.
But
there's a lot more. Don, I wanted to, because, you know, you had a great presence of the Caribbean nations at the summit. But there was a small, almost unnoticeable presence of Latin America specifically, South America, Brazil. I know Colombia, but
really.
How important is it? Because I think the South American, Latin American contingent, they've been active on this issue, certainly on a local scale, within their governments, within their countries. But how important is it to get them involved in this on a global scale?
It is extremely important, because the legacy of slavery still impacting negatively on the large, in places like Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, and Central American countries, like all of which have substantial Afro-descendant communities in those. So as we move forward to build a global reparations movement, it is very important that reparations activists in the Latin American countries connect with those in the Caribbean and those in North America. A broad international network of activists is beginning to emerge in the Western Hemisphere. And that also includes, by the way, Mario, Canada. We had a large delegation of Afro-Canadians who came to the conference and participated actively. So you've got this emerging network of Pan-Africanists and advocates for reparations coming out of the Western Hemisphere and beginning to connect with sisters and brothers who are active in building a reparations movement in parts of Europe.
Do you have anything? Is there anything specific that you would like to suggest that people like can do to spur the conversation about reparations? There's so much, but what can regular folks do to talk about it and have this conversation continue on going forward?
In 30 seconds or less, man.
Well, certainly try to organize reparations forums in your workplace, in the classroom, in the community, at the community centers at that level, in your homes. Bring together groups and individuals interested in this issue for discussions, for study. Certainly go to our website. We have established a reparations resource center on the IBW website, ibw21.org. There you can find a ton of material. So this is an issue that is definitely worth with action agendas.
And then put it on the agenda at every level,
exactly.
level indeed. Don Rojas, we will do that. WBAI will play a role. And I want to talk to you off mic about some ideas I have for the fall, particularly at the university. So maybe we can do
fantastic. And let me just say to you brothers and sisters who are now in the leadership of WBAI, thank you so much for all the support that you guys gave us to make this conference a great success.
It's part of our mission. Don Rojas, it's great to talk to you. I'll call you later. Again, Don Rojas, Director of Communication of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. Their website, ibw21.org, ibw21.org. And this is the Friday edition of The Morning Show. It's